Yeah, we are going to be talking about unity today. That's where Ephesians is taking us today. And true to form, like Paul did last week, you know, he starts off with the not so unified and gets there. But before we get there, anybody ever heard the tagline, live united? Know where that's from? United Way. That's United Way, actually. That's their slogan right now, you know, live united. So when you hear something like that, what's it make you think of? Is division in there? No, it's coming together, which is what their mission is all about. But we won't get into the politics of United Way, but it kind of fits with what we're talking about here today, about living united and needing to come together. God wants us to be united. Don't you think? United together in one body and one heart, one mind, one church, the church. That's what God wants for us. And for living in the United States of America, united, we sure do have the market cornered on division. I mean, it sure does seem lately. And we have all sorts of division. We have racial division. We have gender division, of course, you know, where the power struggle that's there. We have north and south, east and west, cultural divisions, sports divisions. You know, you got the Buckeyes and whatever that other team is, you know. Religious divisions all over the place. We even have divisions right in the church. We have divisions in the local churches. We have divisions in the church. I don't think that's how God planned it from the beginning. Because in the beginning, what does it say? In the beginning, God created man what? In His image. He says, in our image, in our image, let us make man. Let us make man. There's that unity right there. Also, a little spoiler for you about the Trinity. That multiplicity of God right there. Plurality. Let us make Him. To be unified with us, be united with us, be with us. And we know from the story in Genesis, it didn't last long, right? Division crept in almost right away, it seems like, at least if the way we read it. We don't know how much time actually passed, but in God's time it wasn't long. The original sin, there was the division from God. There was division from the garden, of course. Division of family. Cain and Abel, that was an ultimate division. Cain being told to leave. It got to such a bad point that God brought the flood to start over. And even after that, division crept in because original sin, because of the way we are. Division, division, division. God wants unity. And as we talk about that this morning, keep this in mind. God wants that. No matter how division comes, no matter how it looks, God wants that unity. And He made these promises of hope and salvation, and in them was the promise of unity. Coming together. God gathering His children back to Him. What? Why would He need to gather us back if we weren't scattered in the first place? Divided from Him in the first place. Divided from each other. He wants us to come back. He wants everyone to come back. And the culmination of God's promise was what? The ultimate culmination of God's promise was what? The cross of Christ. That promise, because what He did, He made that way of heaven. He made that way to... He came, Christ came to bring us together, came to teach us. He came to die on a cross and to pay a debt that we could never pay. And to make a way for us to come to the Father. Now let's get to our scripture and see where that takes us. Through this discussion. It's Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11, and it's on page 154 of the New Testament section of your Pew Bibles. Excuse me. Ephesians 2, beginning at 11. It says, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, just like last week's passage, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Like I said, Paul starts off just kind of like last week's scripture, because he says, last week in 2:1, he says, and you were dead in your trespasses, and you once walked following the curse of the world. You know, he tells us all this bad stuff, and he says, you know, you were once separated from God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. He's talking about the Gentiles here, of course, you know, which to the Jews, there was, well, to Israel, there was the Jews, and then everybody else. It was us and them. And Paul's kind of remembering that or reminding them. Now, he's not saying you Gentiles, because who was Paul's ministry mainly to? Well, the Gentiles. Because, you know, the Jews didn't want to listen to him. I'll take God's word to the Gentiles, which is what God's plan was for him, by the way. And that's how we got it. But he says, you were once lost. You were without God. You were without hope. You didn't have God's laws, God's covenant. You didn't know about these things. How do we apply that today? Is this fitting for in our church culture to talk like stuff like this? Sure. There's people out there that are in the same boat as what those Gentiles were back then. Without God, don't know God, haven't been introduced to God. You've got divisions in there. They're divided from God, apart from God. Now, some of these are easier to tell than others. You know, you've got unbelievers. Seems pretty cut and dry, right? You either believe in God or you don't. Believe in Jesus or you don't. Seems pretty cut and dry. And it's almost, how do you say it with, you know, just like I did? You know, well, you're either a believer or you're not. Because if you're not, you know, there should be this pain for that person talking to the one that doesn't believe. Or thinking about people that don't believe. There should be this pain when we actually think about that. But then there's the people that are like, I just don't know. I believe in something. I believe in God, but I don't know what I believe in. You know, I don't even want to say that they're fence sitters. They're like, I believe in something, but I just really don't know. We talked about that a little bit last week. You know, there's the whole, you know, the lukewarm idea. But I'd rather talk about another one where God says, or Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. You're not with me. You're not part of my company. You're not together. You're not united with me. Excuse me. Whoever's not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. What is the problem with not being sure? besides the fact that you're not part of God's fold. Because he says, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. What are you scattering? Give me a word. Doubt. Those people are scattering doubt. And those seeds grow just like our seeds that we're trying to plant. Because what are our seeds? We're trying to plant seeds of hope, seeds of salvation, seeds of Jesus. And we have to fight with those seeds of doubt. The wheat and the tares, right? So doubt, those unsure people are just as dangerous as unbelievers. And they need just as much attention from us as unbelievers. But they're also sometimes harder to get through to because they have something there that they believe in, but they just don't know what. They can't make up their mind. They're divided internally as well as from God. There's that internal division. Jesus had another message for folks like this, and it was, come to me. Come to me, all you who are tired and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And just come to me. Let the children come, he says. Yeah, I heard Griffin praying earlier, by the way, in case you didn't notice. There are even divisions within God's church. I mean, there's disagreement on orthodoxy. There's things that you need to believe. There's ways you're supposed to believe, things you're supposed to do. How do you get to heaven? Who can get to heaven? You know, all these arguments as well that cause division in God's body. Lots and lots of division that we can get to, but that's not the way God wanted this from the beginning. Like I said, Paul starts off with some not good information like last week. He says, you who are in the flesh, you Gentiles, you non-believers, you had no God. You had no Jesus. You had no hope. You had no promise. But you notice he's also saying this all in past tense. You had no. He's talking to the church of Ephesus. But you did have separation. And then he does that again. He says, but now. Jesus, but now you've got something different. See, we all have that but now in our lives. We have that but now moment in our lives where everything was kind of before, or maybe some people were just downright broken before, but now Jesus. That separation is starting to go away. That division is starting to go away because of Jesus. He came for all. He came to bring peace to all this strife that we've been going through. All the contention between people. He came not just to bring peace, but as it says in our scriptures, he came to be peace. He is that peace. The very embodiment of it. And he came to tear down those walls of division. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Give you a little lesson about the temple back in Jerusalem. They had these walls all over the place, dividing different people. They had walls to keep... You know, Gentiles could go and pray at the temple? They could go and worship at the temple in their own little section. It was walled off. You could go. Our God's a God of everybody, but just you can't come with us. Women had their own section. There's all these walls, these division things, and Jesus came to knock those things down, physically and metaphorically. Knock those walls down. He removed the wall that stood between us and God. And that wall is made up of brick upon brick upon brick of sin. And there's that dividing line. There was that division wall right there that we all put up around us at one point in our life that needs to be knocked down. And sometimes we build it around our churches. Sometimes we build it around our communities, our cultures, our ideas. We build these walls around there to protect these ideas. But sometimes it's to keep people out, but sometimes we're keeping God out at the same time. That's why we need to always remember to take these things to Him first. Bounce them off of Him first. And that wall of sin is preventing a true relationship with God. The Jewish people had their sacrificial system, of course, to deal with this sin stuff, right? Had to go and sacrifice an animal now and then, once a year at least, to atone for their sins, the sins of their family. But it was never permanent. And it could never cover everything. And the whole idea of that sacrifice, there was one element in this, and it was the blood. And sometimes it's hard to talk about the idea of the blood because there's that gross factor, right? If you ever really wrap your head around the sacrificial system and go, what did they do with all this stuff, you know? God's idea of covering sin is a very gory idea. And it says in here that we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, that blood is the only blood that can cover everything. That was perfect. That was eternal. Backwards and forwards in time, covering all sin. That's why it knocked down that wall. That's why there can be unity with God. Because of that sacrifice. Another thing about talking about the blood is like, well, you know, is it okay to talk to in front of kids and stuff like that? I always, you know, you always kind of hear that a little bit because it's gross. But yeah, we should be talking about it in front of kids and adults alike because this is the most precious gift that God has ever given us. Yes, the death on the cross and everything leading up to it is brutal. It's horrific. But it's also beautiful at the same time. Because of what is going on to bring us to Him. And once you can see the beauty in that and start wrapping your head around that, you know what? That division is going away. There's the idea of falling and praising and thanking and saying, how and why me? See, only the most perfect sacrifice can truly make atonement for sins against God, and Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. His blood covered all sin. And the account of Christ's sacrifice, like I said, it's heavy, it's gory, it's messy. It's full of love, though, and mercy, and it's necessary to share it, and it's mandatory to share it in all situations. Just don't candy coat it. So let's remember something here. It says the wages of sin is death, right? Scripture tells us that. And God made a big deal about blood. Because of what? Why did God make a big deal? But what's in the blood? He tells us that. Life. The life is in the blood. That is why that matters so very much. Whose life was in this blood that was shed? The very blood of God. I mean, Jesus is God, right? How could that not be perfect? How could that not be all atoning? It's God giving Himself up to bring us to Him. See, Jesus' blood was beyond anything the world had been able to offer. In Him was no sin. There was no blemish. Only His blood could cover any sin. In fact, it covered it all. As the song says, well, there's power in the blood, right? There's power in that. There's grace. There's beauty. There's love. And the law was not so much a way of showing Israel how to live, but showing them how they could not live up to perfection. And as they were learning, hopefully, that they could not live up to perfection, it showed that their need in God. They showed, I can't do this. There's no way to do all of this. One day Jesus' disciples said, if it's so hard to get into heaven, then who can possibly get there? Jesus gave them a simple answer. With man, it's impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. See, I even wore my tie so you guys could... With God, all things are possible. That's the only way. The only way. Reconciliation with God, unity with God. Reconciliation with God is definitely one of those impossible things that God made possible. You know, if the God of creation, you know, El Shaddai, God Almighty, wants to bring us back to Him, that makes us pretty special. Makes us pretty special. And if He can reconcile us to Him, it seems only right that we should be able to reconcile with each other. Realize that we're on the same team. And how do we go about that? How about remembering that Christ's death on the cross was for all? God shows no partiality. None. He doesn't have a favorite race. He doesn't have a favorite country. He doesn't have a favorite state. He doesn't have a favorite football team. He doesn't have a favorite anything when it comes to us. Except us. The whole. There is no partiality. He treats us all the same. That's that righteousness. That's that justness of Him that He has. That He treats us as equals. And if you're in Christ, you're in God. And if you're in God, well, we're all on the same team. Fellow citizens in the God's household, as it says here. If I have it up there. You're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of God's household. Being built up, the foundation on the prophets and the saints. A building, you know, this massive temple I want you to picture, this spiritual temple built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, and the very cornerstone is Jesus Christ, it says. Because He is the point at which everything else is aligned. Keeps us true. Jesus said that His kingdom is not of this world. And we've been reminded that even though we're sojourners in this, we're travelers in this world, we're in this world, we're not to be part of it. Because our citizenship is what? Well, it's part of His kingdom. It's not here. But while we're here, we've got work to do. And that's that sharing. That's this unbeliever that needs to know. This unsure person that needs to be tilted in the right direction. Those people are our jobs. Not to convert them, to introduce them, to show that love to them, to say, hey, this is what you need. Let me see what I can do to help you do that. We're here to make a difference. And this heavenly citizenship gives us a holy bond, by the way. This is building us into something awesome. And as I say, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts here. Because it's amazing when you wrap your head around it. What it is, God's holy temple cannot be made by unholy hands. But bringing us together and working together, there's something beautiful in that. And we're all part of this church of God. And I don't mean churches of God, General Conference, Great Lakes Conference, this church of God. I'm talking about the church of God, as it mentions in Acts. We're all part of that. We all have a job to do. And that church doesn't have walls, but it is a holy temple. And that temple is a dwelling place of God. And when God entered the temple that Solomon built, remember, He filled that thing. Every nook and cranny filled with God. Because He was happy. Happy at the hearts that built it. Happy at the hearts that made it, that gave to it, that helped in any way. And he's like, they did this for me. So when we're building that temple, and that means bringing more people to Christ, it just gives God more room to run around in that temple, being built up. See, God just rolling around everywhere going, this is awesome. I want to make a little change to our passage here this morning too. And I'm not going to add to Scripture or take away from Scripture. This is an example. This is a Jake thing. So I don't want to say this is what Scripture should sound like. Please don't take it that way. But listen to this for a second. Let's change just a couple words. It says, I say, therefore remember that at one time you were believers, called unbelievers by what are called believers, remember that you were at a time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of heaven and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Just switch those words. The Gentiles for non-believers. The uncircumcised for non-believers. And that's today's world. We can apply this scripture to right here, right now. By realizing who our audience is. Paul's audience was the Gentiles, Gentile believers. Our audience is somebody different that we want to unite with, that we want to bring together. We're truly part of something amazing. And who wouldn't want to share something like that? It's something that truly makes a difference. And in the end, all those other divisions don't matter. None of them. Political, geographical, racial, none of them matter. This one matters. Are you united under God, under Jesus, or are you not? That's the only one that matters in the end. Because that separation has dramatic problems for people. They don't matter, those other ones. We have something awesome and amazing, and God wants us to share that with the world. Say, come and see. Go and do. And see what God can do through us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together. Bring us together in you, in your spirit, in your house, in your son. We thank you for the love that you show us as part of your family. Citizens of your kingdom, but part of your family, your children. And as we look back on everything that you did to make that family possible. Help us remember to glorify you always. Give you that praise and show you that praise through our very being, through the things that we do and say, and the way we share you with others, in the way we live our lives, in the conversations that we have, in the way we have fellowship with one another even. Help us glorify you in that and show our unity, show that bond that we have in you, in Jesus. And may that bond just be so attractive to people that they see that. They see that in us. And want that for themselves. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your son and that sacrifice. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about the power that is in that blood that was shed for us. Help us not be afraid to share that story with others. because we all need it. So give us that spiritual backbone we need, and help us remember that your promise is that you are always there with us every step of the way. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful family you've called us into. But thank you for that salvation that you offer us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.